Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with African football. The draw has been held for the second round of African qualifying for the 2022 World Cup in Qatar. Joining us now for a look at the groups is Samson Omale. Sporty greetings, Samson!
Sporty greetings to you, Sonny. The teams representing 40 countries across the CAF region were divided into 10 groups of 4 teams each for the penultimate stage of the continental journey to Qatar. In Group A, it will be Algeria, Burkina Faso, Niger and Djibouti slogging it out. The contest in Group B will involve Tunisia, Zambia, Mauritania and Equatorial Guinea. While Group C will have the likes of Nigeria, Cape Verde, Central African Republic and Liberia. Sports journalist Noah Drua reflects on the chances of these teams.
Obviously, Nigeria's already said that, look, it's a must for the Super Eagles of Nigeria to qualify from Group C. Now, Cape Verde are spoilers, and we need to prepare very well.
Moving up to Group D, where Cameroon, Cote d'Ivoire, Mozambique, Malawi will square it out, while Group E will have the likes of Mali, Uganda, Kenya, and Rwanda. Group F will see Egypt, Gabon, Libya, and Angola battling it out, while Group G have Ghana, South Africa, Zimbabwe, and Ethiopia square it out. Football analyst Chika Udemko describes Group G as a group of death.
One would expect Ghana to come tops given the array of talent, but given the resurgence of South Africa, that perhaps could be another factor. Zimbabwe of late has shown promise, and that could be where my interest will be.
Senegal, Congo, Namibia and Togo are in Group H, while Morocco, Guinea-Bissau and Sudan constitute Group I. Group J have DR Congo, Benin, Madagascar and Tanzania. Preeti Adeguke, a sports reporter and presenter, tells me that there are no longer minnows in African football.
There's no pushover again in African football because everybody is living up to expectations. Some of the teams that hitherto seen in the past as little teams, small teams, pushovers, are no like that anymore because there are no minnows in world football, especially in Africa. If you can see teams like Tanzania, Madagascar, Zimbabwe, Malawi coming up strongly, then there is no team that cannot upset another in these groups.
The group phase of the qualifiers start in October 2020, continuing until October 2021. After a round-robin of matches, the winners of the 10 groups will qualify to the final round of the continental qualification on the journey to Qatar. The final round will see the 10 teams drawn into 5 home and away ties, with the 5 winners securing the ticket to represent Africa on the tournament scheduled for 21st of November to the 18th of December 2022 in Qatar. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
This is Jonathan McKinstry, the head coach of the Uganda men's national team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, coach. As Samson Omale mentioned, Nigeria is in Group C for the second round of African qualifying for the 2022 World Cup in Qatar, along with Cape Verde, Central African Republic, and Liberia. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted the group sports editor of the Lagos-based Vanguard newspaper, Tony Ubani.
It's a very tricky group, Mike. It's very, very tricky for Nigeria. So many Nigerians believe that it's an easy group for Nigeria, not knowing that Cape Verde will always be a very big problem, big headache for Nigeria. Of course, we have played them before, and if you notice, they are speedy, the way they are, even on, the way their football has been going, You see that most of them, they are Brazilians. You know, they play part of Portuguese football, and they have very, very good footballers. You know, most of their footballers may not be known, but they are very, very good. Even in FIFA ranking, you see the steady way they have always. They talk about the Central African Republic. Not so many Nigerians know about them, and I think these are banana peels. The only way Nigeria can get across or get over that group is for them to start and, of course, be serious about it. In the past, we have seen, you know, that smaller teams, minnow teams like this, are the ones that cause so much trouble for Nigeria more than the well-known teams in Africa. And this one will not be different. That's my opinion, Mike.
Remember what happened in the last AFCON 2019 in Egypt, where Madagascar from nowhere surprised the Super Eagles there. Do you see a repeat of such thing happening in Group C when Nigeria take on these countries?
You are absolutely right, Mike. If you go back into history too, you remember that when Angola stopped Nigeria from the World Cup, Angola was not a big playing nation then. And of course, we played early, not just going to the World Cup. We equally lost Samuel Sochukwuma Oparaji in that group. These smaller teams, as so many people perceive them to be, are the ones that will definitely cause a lot of trouble. I see banana peels. Nigeria must be very careful in this group. And if you look at it, Nigeria has not even sorted out the contract talks with Genetrol, and we are already boasting and thinking that we'll just overrun all the teams in that group. I think Nigerians need to be careful, because smaller teams are the ones that cause upset in football.
Now, which way out for the Super Eagles of Nigeria to top the group, given the fact that these smaller teams could pose a big threat to them?
Mike, first things first. I think the first thing that Nigeria should do is to sort out the contract renewal of their coach, if they are going to renew his contract. I think by now, that's the only way we just know that one problem has been solved. If we settle the renewal and Genetrol continues in his bid, if they are going to change him, I think that's part of the problem that we are going to face. Secondly, is the fact that Nigeria should not try to bring back bonus problems. We know that bonus problems have caused a lot of heartaches for Nigerian football. But since Pini Kamaju came in, it has not been so. But I think they should be careful that it does not bring its ugly head to rear again. And also, preparations must be made, because in some of these African countries, during the qualifiers, you see that some of the notable Nigerian players may not be willing to play in the qualifiers. If we do not tackle these things, I think that they will definitely be banana peels for us towards our dream of qualifying for Qatar 2022.
That's Tony Ubani, the group sports editor of the Vanguard newspaper. And Tony spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Lagos, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Tony Ubani, group sports editor of Vanguard Newspapers, former spokesman of the Nigeria Olympic Committee. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Elsewhere in African football, host Cameroon recently confirmed new dates for the 2021 Africa Cup of Nations tournament. Our Voice of America football fans will remember last year's Nations Cup in Egypt was staged in June and July. But Cameroon says June and July is the rainy season in the country, so the 2021 Nations Cup will revert back to January and February. The change in dates has already frustrated some top European clubs, who will be without their first-team African players at a crucial stage of the season. For more on the change in AFCON dates, here is Magume Davis Rakawinge in Kampala, Uganda.
Anthony Bafoe, the Confederation of African Football Deputy General Secretary, read a communique in Yaounde, Cameroon, announcing changes. He said the Cameroon government asked CAF to shift dates because of bad weather during the month of June and July.
After listening to the various arguments and viewpoints, in particular from the Cameroon meteorological authorities and the coaches and players, representatives, the African Organizing Committee, which received the mandate from the CAF Executive Committee to take a decision, granted this request.
The months of June and July in Cameroon received heavy rains, which organizers of AFCON believe could negatively affect the tournament. Bafoe says, despite changes of dates, CAF expects a good tournament. Uganda journalist Steve Mayanja says the change of dates will affect both the organization of qualifiers and local tournaments.
That simply means FUFA has to reschedule the local games here in Uganda. Remember, we have CHAN in April.
FUFA stands for Federation of Uganda Football Association. Mayanja also says the changes will have adverse effects for European clubs that feature African players. David Baingana, a Rwandan sports analyst and reporter, agrees.
It jeopardizes a lot of African players, you know, schedules with their clubs. Imagine taking away Mohamed Salah, taking away Sadio Mane, taking away Naby Keita from Liverpool for 7 to 8 games in a season. That's a very huge loss of you, Mr. Klopp. Imagine this a French championship league with a lot of African players. What will happen?
Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp.
The African Cup of Nations. I like the competition. I watched it a lot in the past in my life. Very interesting tournament. Both difficult circumstances a lot of times. And players, what they make of it. Sensational players. You see the first time there, but not the last time, because they show up in Europe and everywhere. But it's an obvious problem that you play a tournament in the middle of a season. It doesn't help African players. So we will not sell Sadio, Mo or Naby now because they have a tournament in January and February. Of course not. But if you have to make a decision about bringing in a player, it's a massive one.
The changes mean that some prominent African players, such as Arsenal's Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang and Nicolas Pepe, could be away from club duties during this period. Other clubs like Manchester City could also miss out on services of Algerian Riyad Mahrez. Other top players like Kalidou Koulibaly, who plays for Napoli and Senegal, Andrew Onana, who plays for Cameroon and Club Ajax, Wahibi Kaziri, who plays for Saint-Etienne and Tunisia, Wilfried Zaha, Alex Iwobi, Victor Wanyama, Sheikh Kouyaté, Jordan Ayew, Daniel Amati, Kulisan Atsu, and several others would be a big miss for their respective clubs. Sports commentator Peter Otai says he understands CAF's decision, but he says CAF officials should learn to plan ahead of time to avoid such inconveniences.
They're trying to avoid a scenario where a game is washed out because of heavy rain, flooding. You've seen of recent, we've had a lot of floods because of, I think, the element of increase of temperature and everything. So going forward, I think it's high time that CAF sits down to its guts and realizes early.
Clubs are obliged by FIFA regulations to grant permission to their players to play for their respective countries during international tournaments. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume Davis Rwakarinj in Kampala, Uganda.
Thanks, Mugume. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In African athletics, the race that every marathon fan is longing to see is set for April in the British capital. Eliud Kipchoge and Kenenisa Bekele will meet April 26th in the London Marathon. So far, the Kenyan world record holder has beaten the multiple Olympic champion from Ethiopia in every one of their 4 encounters in the marathon. But in an extraordinary last 12 months for the event, the energetic Andy Edwards in London says this race could be wide open.
This has every prospect of being like a heavyweight world title fight, but instead of verbal and physical punches, the dedication and meticulous ability of the Kipchoge and Bekele camps will be put to the test. But just a moment. Another intriguing ingredient to this brew is that both men are managed by the same agency, Global Sports, and its boss, the former Dutch international runner Jos Hermans, has a close relationship with both. Looking at results over the past couple of years suggests that Eliud Kipchoge goes to the start line in London as favourite. He is the world record holder with 2:01.39, the Olympic champion, and the only runner to break 2 hours for the marathon, which he did in Vienna last October, although the INEOS 159 challenge did not conform to official race regulations. Nevertheless, for all the help from teams of pacemakers, the barrier still had to be broken, and Kipchoge did it, even looking fresh at the end. Kenenisa Bekele's career looked on the brink of closure before the Berlin Marathon in late September. He had failed to finish his previous three marathons, and manager Jos Hermans had expressed harsh words for what he called the star's wavering dedication to training, distracted, according to Hermans, by his business interests. Bekele returned to form with vengeance, not only winning but running to within 2 seconds of Kipchoge's world record. That achievement restored his status as a threat to anyone in the marathon. 24 hours after his win, he said his long-term injury problems were behind him and he was ready for the ultimate challenge.
I'm very happy if I run again with Eliud Kipchoge, anywhere, soon or whatever. I'm ready for that.
Bekele and Kipchoge have raced twice before in London, in 2016 and 2018, and Eliud Kipchoge has emerged victorious on both occasions. As if their contest doesn't have enough talking points already, both men are likely to be wearing the Nike Vaporfly shoes, or whatever will be by then the latest development in that model, and which have stirred up the running world. How much the glut of extraordinary fast times recently is down to the shoes, or to the men and women who wear them, is an ongoing debate. The London Marathon on April 26 could be just round one, with a rematch likely in the Olympic Marathon later in the year, not in Tokyo, but in the somewhat cooler climate of Sapporo in Japan. As Eliud Kipchoge pointed out, after winning the London title last year, championship racing and the Olympics above all set a radically different test.
It's a different feeling because no pacemakers, but you can run any time, provided you win, but mentally you should be strong.
Like Muhammad Ali's epic contest with Joe Frazier and George Foreman, Eliud versus Kenenisa, to decide who is the top man, is unlikely to be settled by just one bout. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Andy Edwards in London.
Thanks, Andy. Now let's go down under, where Craig Gabriel joins us for a look at Wednesday's action at the Australian Open Tennis Tournament.
It's often said about Melbourne, if you don't like the weather conditions, give it 5 minutes and it'll change. On day three of the Australian Open, those changes didn't seem to come into play. It stayed gusty from almost start to finish, and the players struggled with the blustery conditions. Even players who were scheduled for one of the courts with retractable roofs said they didn't escape the wind. The roofs over those three courts had to be closed very late in the day because rain was bucketing down. But well done to organizers as the tournament schedule has been brought back on track after rain from 2 days ago. Serena Williams advanced over Slovenian Tamara Zidancic 6-2, 6-3, but Williams said the second set tightened because of her own errors. She said that she was giving herself pep talks during the match.
Yeah, it's definitely pretty deep. You know, it's it has to be motivating, but also has to be realistic. And then sometimes you just miss some shots and you don't know why, and just trying to find an answer. So that's what I kept doing, and thankfully I was able to find an answer right in the middle of the second set.
Roger Federer dominated Filip Krajinovic, beating him for the fourth straight time, 6-1, 6-4, 6-1. If Federer progresses to the fourth round, he would not have faced a single seed, as they've all been beaten in his section. But before he gets to the last 16, he must first play Aussie John Millman, who upset 31st seed Hubert Hurkacz of Poland. Federer and Millman played a memorable match at the 2018 US Open, and it was even more memorable for the Australian, who scored a late-night win. Federer said that loss really bugged him.
I think the next match is really going to be a test for me, because John, he's going to be there. He's fit like a fiddle. I've lost him in the past in a best-of-five-set match. I almost lost him in Brisbane as well, the first time I played against him. And, you know, He's from this country, so naturally also it's going to be different intensity, so I think this is going to be a good test for me.
Ash Barty and Petra Kvitova were winners early in the day. Novak Djokovic beat Tatsumo Ito. Naomi Osaka dropped only six games, and Kara Wozniacki delayed her retirement date a bit by upsetting 23rd seed Diana Yastremska. 15-year-old Coco Gauff continues to attract the attention. She rallied from a set down to beat Romanian Sorana Costea, and Coco plays Osaka next.
I think I'll be less nervous this time. I think U.S. Open, I was nervous. It was my first time on Ash. And I mean, we're both familiar with each other's games. She plays really aggressive, so this time coming in, I'm just going to try to be more aggressive.
U.S. Open semifinalist Matteo Berrettini and 2014 U.S. Open champion Marin Cilic had five-set wins. Craig Gabriel, VOA Sports, Melbourne.
Thanks, Craig. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
In National Basketball Association action Tuesday night, the Los Angeles Clippers edged the host Dallas Mavericks by 3 points, as we hear now from the AP's Bob Stevens in Dallas, Texas.
Kawhi Leonard scored 36 points to lead the LA Clippers past the Dallas Mavericks 110-107.
Just pretty much playing hard. You know, we've been watching film together, seeing what mistakes we've been making. So everybody just giving the effort of their mind and body of, wanting to compete, make winning plays, and just be a better basketball team.
The Red Hot Clippers have now won four straight, eight of their last 10, improved to 31-13. While the Mavs' four-game winning streak comes to an end, they're now 27-16. The Mavs also lost Dwight Powell, who suffered an Achilles tendon injury late in the first after regaining the services of Kristaps Porzingis, who returned after missing 10 games with a knee injury.
I was eager to get back on the court. Something unfortunate that happened with that little injury. But I'm glad I'm healthy again.
Porzingis had 10 points, 9 rebounds, but was just 4 for 17 from the field. Luka Doncic led the Mavs with 36 points, 10 rebounds, 9 assists. Bob Stevens, Dallas.
Thanks, Bob. The Sunny Side of Sports remembers Hall of Fame high school basketball coach Morgan Wooten, who died Tuesday evening at the age of 88. Wooten is considered one of the best coaches in the history of basketball. He coached for nearly 50 years at DeMatha High School, located just outside of Washington, D.C., in Hyattsville, Maryland. DeMatha announced Wooten's death on its Twitter account early Wednesday morning, and I quote, "The Wooten family is saddened to share the news that their loving husband and father, Morgan Wooten, passed away Tuesday evening at 9:50 p.m. And the tweet continued, "Morgan was surrounded by his family in prayer and passed away peacefully as he wished." Morgan Wooten won 5 national championships at the high school level. Exclusively at the high school level. Colleges wanted Morgan Wooten to be their coach, but he turned down more than a few college offers, and he decided to stay at the high school level. During his time at DeMatha High School, the team won more than 1,200 games. The Stags of DeMatha won at least 20 games in every season but 1957-58, that was his second year at the helm, And one of his great coaching achievements was when DeMatha beat Power Memorial High School, who then had a tall, thin center named Luau Sindor, who later became the great Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Hall of Fame basketball coach Morgan Wooten, dead at the age of 88. And that wraps up the January 22nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer PJ Elliott. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, historically black colleges and universities in the United States are expanding in Africa. HBCUs on the continent on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Rock and roll, America's finest export. Our culture and music of today are permanently indebted to the pioneers who trailblazed this musical tradition. Listen to Border Crossings on February 6th to hear rock's greatest musicians like Jerry Lee Lewis, Buddy Holly, and Elvis Presley, only on The Voice of America.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues. It's about listening to them and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Hello, Africa. This is James Butte, host of Voice of America's Daybreak Africa. Join me Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC for the latest in Africa news, features, and sports. We are also available on the internet at www.voaafrica.com. That's Daybreak Africa, your breakfast show on the Voice of America.
This is Science in a Minute.
In 1929, Edwin Hubble, astronomer and namesake of the famous space telescope, provided evidence that the universe was expanding. To determine the rate of expansion, Hubble came up with a unit of measurement called the Hubble constant. Initially, Hubble estimated the universe was expanding at a rate of 500 kilometers per second per megaparsec. A megaparsec is equal to about 3.26 million light years. Over the years, astronomers have lowered estimates of the Hubble constant down to between 50 and 100 kilometers per megaparsec. Astrophysicists from Clemson University recently used new techniques and data from the Fermi Gamma Ray Space Telescope and the Imaging Atmospheric Cherenkov Telescopes to determine the Hubble constant. They estimate the universe is expanding at a rate of nearly 67.5 kilometers per second per megaparsec. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 17:05 UTC on The Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to sikus, afrobeat to ndombolo and makosa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.